Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a fascinating hour for you. Lots of good things to share. But as I've been telling you for the past couple of weeks, today we're going to really be talking about food. But we're going to be talking about food, well, veggies, more than anything else. My guest today is Jo Stepaniak, and her wonderful book is Vegan Vittles, Down Home Cooking for Everyone. And we have some wonderful stories to share with you, so I know you're going to find it interesting. You might want to have that pad of paper and pen handy, too, because we're going to be sharing something like a poppy seed cake and some other good things. So have it handy so you can take notes. Jo, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. I get all kinds of material regarding foods and recipes. In fact, I just had a call from someone this morning that they had something they wanted to send me. Your book really intrigued me. And as I went through it, I found that not only was it about nutrition to a degree, but it had a whole different twist to it. I am not a vegetarian. I know that you are a vegan. And you have been very much involved with this for quite a while. This is an update on Vegan Vittles, but there is so much more to this book than just recipes. And that's what grabbed my attention. Jo, what made you decide that you wanted to become not a vegetarian, but a vegan? And can you give us a difference in the definitions? What's a vegetarian and what's a vegan?
Sure. I became a vegetarian when I was a young girl. So I've been vegetarian for well over 40 years. And I became vegan with my husband about 2 years after we were married. And that was, we became vegan about 26 years ago. So it's been a long time. And my reason as a young girl, it's hard to explain. It was just something that spoke to my heart that said that it wasn't right to eat animals. And I followed my feelings. I followed my heart. Even though back in the 60s, there really was not much information about vegetarianism. And it was kind of a tough road to hoe back then. There really weren't any books out. There weren't vegetarian restaurants. And there were very, very few natural food stores. And I decided to become vegan because it just seemed like the next natural step as far as my reasons for choosing vegetarianism in the first place, which was compassion.
Interesting word. Now, for you, you use the term compassion. Define that into the context of why you have chosen this kind of lifestyle.
Well, when veganism first came about, when the term first came about, it was in 1944 in England, and it was around the time of World War II, and the people who chose to be vegan and who created that term did so because they felt that it was wrong to eat animal products and it was wrong to exploit animals for their products. And so it actually was born out of a desire to be compassionate to all, to be caring and kind to all, including human beings and all animals and the earth, and to do our part so that veganism, in its technical and traditional definition, encompasses more than just diet.
Well, I know there's many different cultures in the world that, dependent on what has been available to them through the centuries, have often adopted certain patterns of eating, And in India, there are many different cultural traditions regarding foods and all kinds of belief systems, as there are here in the United States. And my positioning is to each their own, whatever is going to work best for them, because we're all individuals and we all have the right of choice. With your book, you bring up, or have in your book, a foreword by Jean Bauer, who is very much involved with the Farm Sanctuary. Tell us about the Farm Sanctuary. This is one of the points of your book that I thought was so intriguing. How did it get started, and what is this all about?
Well, Jean Bauer is the one of the co-founders of Farm Sanctuary, and it began, I'm not exactly sure what year, but quite a long time ago, in the 70s or 80s, and their initial mission was to rescue suffering animals from the food animal industry, from factory farms, animals who were ailing and not given attention, and it just began as that mission to rescue and protect suffering animals and who were destined for slaughter or who were going to be suffering and not given care prior to slaughter. And that's how their mission started. And they grew and grew, and they now have two locations, one in upstate New York and one in Orland, California. And if listeners have never been to Farm Sanctuary, it is an incredibly magical place and one of the few places that you can see animals who were going to be raised for food living out a full and natural life. And they are the most incredible and affectionate creatures and with unique personalities. And you would have an opportunity to visit with enormous cattle and pigs and turkeys and sheep and goats all up front and close. It's just an amazing experience. And Farm Sanctuary views the animals that reside at their sanctuaries as ambassadors for vegetarianism, because usually when people meet these animals up close and personal and get to know them, they find it very difficult to go back to eating them.
Well, here we have some information regarding some of the animals, and one of them I really thought was cute. It's about Layla. She's a bunny. And the Humane Society in California works with Farm Sanctuary and often gives them animals, and this was the case. She was given away, this bunny was given away to the Humane Society because the family said she was a vicious biter and very troublesome. And the Humane Society, once they had found out she bit, said, well, we could not give her to another family. So they contacted the Farm Sanctuary, where she has been living ever since. And she is just as happy as she can be. She munches all day long, and she's available for petting or for companionship or company if you are so inclined to spend some time with her. But it is amazing how, in this California shelter from the Farm Sanctuary Organization, this little rabbit, one of many, many animals that has got a home that otherwise perhaps would have just been euthanized. Now, let's talk about these recipes that you have in here. And again, for those of you who are listening, we're talking with Jo Stepaniak. Her interesting book is Vegan Vittles. And I can tell you that if whether or not you're a vegetarian isn't so much the issue as this is good food. I mean, these are some wonderful, wonderful recipes. And if maybe you have a problem with your family eating vegetables or you don't necessarily have a passion for them, this is a great book, lots of wonderful recipes. Now, Joe, I have to ask you a question. Did you taste test all of these?
Oh, absolutely. The recipes in the book have not only been taste tested once, but usually at least a dozen times. And I've been making them for a very long time because, well, as I said, when I first became vegetarian and vegan, there were very, very few books and little information available. So I had to learn how to fend for myself, and I had to learn how to cook at a very young age. So these recipes have been through the ringer, been through the tester. My husband can attest to that himself. He's one of my top testers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had many people involved with making the recipes and making sure that they work, that they will come out right every time, and that they'll taste good.
Okay. Let's take a look at some of the ingredients that you use, which a few of them I'm not familiar with, but I know you use agar, which is an extract of red algae that's used as a thickener, a gelling agent, and a stabilizer in foods. And then you have agave syrup. I don't know how many of my listeners would know about agave syrup. Where does that come from?
It's from the same cactus that is used to make tequila.
Oh.
It is a sweet syrup, and it's perfect for people who cannot have sugar. It doesn't give you a sugar rush, but it is a very delicate, light sweetener, very similar to honey. And it has a very pleasing taste and comes in dark as well as light. And it's just a great alternative sweetener. And it's available in natural food stores. And it's also available in some supermarkets, because many supermarkets now are carrying a lot of natural food products or even have their own separate natural food section.
That is true. Now, one of the products that you use, and along with many others, and of course in the book you have all of these items itemized out that are going to be a part of many of the recipes, textured soy protein. You have this, and you also, that's one thing that you do in the book too, you give all kinds of contact information about where, if someone is living in a part of the country, and we have listeners all over the country, all over the world in fact, they will have contact information of where they can go to get what they need. And what I wanted to ask you about is, what if someone is allergic to soy? What would you recommend that be used as a substitute?
Well, there are so many different types of soy products that it really depends on specifically what product they're trying to replace. And some foods, it's very difficult to replace them because they're already being used to replace something else, an animal
mm-hmm.
product.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just depends on what they can't have. I actually have a book called Food Allergy Survival Guide that I wrote with two registered dietitians. And that book is not only all vegan, but it's also free of all of the top 8 food allergens, including soy, and all of the recipes in that book are free of soy. One of my other books, The Ultimate Uncheese Cookbook, which is filled with homemade cheese alternatives that are actually very easy to make, and I do have some of those in Vegan Vittles, too.
Yes, you do. I was going to bring up one of those, too.
Yes, and I do have in Ultimate Uncheese Cookbook alternatives for soy, and I do have an allergy index in that book. But a lot of my recipes don't include soy products, so it would be very easy for someone to make a lot of the recipes who can't have certain foods.
You bring out some important information, I feel, and this is information from the findings of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Pesticide Data Program. The foods that are highest in pesticides, these are 12 fruits and vegetables, and I want to read them off here. Apples, bell peppers, celery, cherries, grapes, nectarines, peaches, pears, potatoes, red raspberries, spinach, and strawberries. The lowest in pesticides are asparagus, avocados, bananas, broccoli, cauliflower, sweet corn, kiwi fruit, mangoes, onions, papaya, peas, and pineapples. Then you go into the genetically engineered food, and this is certified by the Organics Consumers Association. We'll have a website we can give out for that. Genetically engineered foods are canola oil, radicchio, corn, sweet corn, popcorns, cornstarch, corn oil, cottonseed oil, cucumber, flax seeds, papaya, potato, soy, squash, sugar beet, tomato, watermelon, and zucchini. Now, why is it important to know about genetically engineered foods?
Well, along with pesticides, with genetically engineered foods, we do not know how these foods will affect us health-wise in the long run. That's one reason. Another is that we are losing our heirloom foods. And what that does is they're not as nutritious for us. Just the bottom line is that the way that nature presented our foods, they tend to be more healthful overall. Granted, there are some foods that have been modified over the years in ways that we wouldn't normally consider genetic modification. In the current term, genetically engineered foods, there can be products from other foods, from animals, animal DNA, in those food cells to give them greater shelf life and to reduce some of the qualities that we don't find appealing. But they're not done. It's more of a science experiment than the traditional way that farmers would modify seeds. So today we find that tomatoes don't taste like tomatoes anymore. It's very hard to find a good tomato unless it's homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
And that is due to the genetic modification that is being done. And that's just one example. Our foods are just not tasting good, and they're not as nutritious. And there are very recent studies that are coming out showing that organic produce not only tastes better, but it is higher in all of the nutrients compared with these other genetically modified foods.
I think there are many people that would agree with you on that one. Let's start off with a recipe that is just perfect for any time of the year, morning, afternoon, or evening, if you want to have the munchies. And if you have kids, school is starting up, and if you want them to have a healthy snack they can take with them, if you're an outdoors person and you want to have something to munch on, your maple walnut granola.
Yes.
Really sounded absolutely awesome. And you said this, you can make a big quantity of this. It'll keep in the refrigerator, and it's great for breakfast.
It absolutely is. I have been making this recipe for years, and I frankly feel that that it is one of the best granola recipes around. I just think it is so good, and you can adapt it however you want to. And it's not super high in fat and not super oily the way a lot of commercial granolas are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not super high in sugar. It's sweetened with maple syrup and a little frozen apple juice concentrate.
Well, I'm going to give out the recipe because I think it's a great one. So if those of you have a pad of paper and pen, here it goes. 6 cups of old-fashioned rolled oats, 6 cups of old-fashioned rolled oats, 1 cup of barley flour, 1 cup of barley flour, and you can find that in the natural food section in your grocery store or in a natural, you know, in a health food store. 1 cup of coarsely chopped walnuts, 1 cup of coarsely chopped walnuts, 1 cup of raw sunflower seeds, 1 cup of raw sunflower seeds, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of maple syrup, and you use the real stuff, folks.
Yes, only the real stuff.
Real stuff. There's nothing like the real maple syrup. 1/2 cup of frozen apple juice concentrate. You want that thawed at room temperature. 1/2 cup of frozen apple juice concentrate thawed. 1/4 cup of vegetable oil. 1/4 cup of vegetable oil. 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. And 1 cup of seedless raisins or chopped dried fruit. My husband's favorite is dates. So this is what you do. You take your oats, your flour, your walnuts, your seeds, and salt. Put them all in a big bowl. In a separate bowl, you put together the maple syrup, the juice concentrate, the oil, and vanilla. You whisk those together. Then you pour it over the dry ingredients, mix it thoroughly until everything's evenly moistened. Your preheated oven at 325 degrees. Divide your mixture between 2 large pans, spreading it out into a 1-inch thick layer. You're going to bake it for 50 to 60 minutes or until it's golden brown. And you want to go in and stir every 15 minutes. And you want to spread the mixture back to the 1-inch layer. You want to keep it all even there in the pan. When it's finished baking, you can remove it from the oven and stir in the raisins or whatever chopped dried fruit you would like while the granola is still hot. And the steam from the hot cereal will plump up the raisins. You've got to let it cool completely. Do not put it in bags or anything else until it's totally, totally cooled. And put it in an airtight container. It'll keep for 2-3 months in the refrigerator. Good stuff.
It is.
Real good stuff here. Now, you've got wonderful bread recipes. You have got all kinds of dips in here. You have just wonderful, wonderful items. You've got one item here that I thought, that's an interesting title, Messy Mike's. And you say it's a substitute for Sloppy Joe's. Tell us about how we got the title, Messy Mike's.
My husband's name is Michael.
Aha, here we go. Must have gotten it all over his face or something. What happened with Mike that you gave it this title?
Yes, that's pretty much it. He loves this recipe, and like a little kid, he gets it all over his face.
Okay, now this again is vegan, but it's something that sometimes people, for whatever reasons, they have problems with digestion, and because this is vegan, it's still flavorful, it's still delicious, and you'll enjoy it, and kids will really like it too. This is what it takes for a Messy Mike, the equivalent of a Sloppy Joe sandwich. A tablespoon of vegetable oil, one medium onion, you dice it up, 1/2 pound, 8 ounces of tempeh, crumpled, that's T-E-M-P-E-H, crumpled, 2 tablespoons of reduced sodium soy sauce, 1/2 cup of ketchup, 1 teaspoon of prepared yellow mustard, 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon of sugar or other sweetener of your choice, and then you're going to need 4 burger buns. Now, this is how simple it is. It's real easy, and for you moms that are out there with busy schedules, this would just be fabulous. You dads, too. I know. You cook every once in a while in the kitchen. What you do, you take your oil, put it in a saucepan, and when it's hot, you add the onion, the tempeh, and the soy sauce, and cook for about 10 minutes, or until the onion is tender and lightly browned. Then you add your ketchup, your mustard, your vinegar, your sugar, and mix it well. Lower the heat and simmer it uncovered for 10 minutes, stirring it often. Spoon it over the hot buns, and you serve it at once. And you can also use vegan burger crumble if you want to do that. She recommends using a 12-ounce package. You know, here you've got such fun things, and sometimes I know when people entertain, as I have, and I have someone that comes maybe that is a vegetarian or a vegan, these recipes are really handy to have because you can have, if you have a potluck or something like this, you can have one or two of these items or maybe even three depending on the size of your party, and it's just perfect because everybody will be able to enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so easy to make recipes that are vegan that satisfy everybody. For people who don't like beans, we have other types of dishes. For people who can't have soy, we have recipes that do not contain any soy. And lots of healthful vegetables in tasty ways. So you're absolutely right, Donna. You can have a wonderful buffet, a wonderful potluck, or picnic, or party. We're using any of the recipes in vegan vittles.
What? Oh, we've got to talk about your incredible cashew cheese sauce.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that cannot have dairy. So when I came across this section, and I know a few people like that, I thought, an incredible cashew cheese sauce? Wow. Okay, let's go for this. You tell us about this recipe and how you came up with this recipe. And, wow, it sounds delicious.
Well, almost everybody loves cashews. They're just so rich and creamy and delicious naturally. And they're a wonderful alternative to milk when blended with just water. It can create a lovely, creamy sauce. So knowing that about them and also knowing that they thicken when heated, when you blend cashews with a liquid such as water or vegetable broth and you heat it, it naturally thickens. There's some sort of chemical reaction with the heated cashews. And I realized that this would make a delicious creamy sauce. And I decided to add nutritional yeast flakes, which some people may have heard of. There's brewer's yeast, which does not taste good, and then there, but it's healthful, and then there are nutritional yeast flakes, which are bright yellow and grown specifically as a food and nutrient supplement, and they are delicious. They have a natural cheesy taste. So I base a lot of my uncheeses on nutritional yeast flakes. So the combination of the rich, creamy cashews and the nutritional yeast flakes and just a few seasonings and a bit of freshly squeezed lemon juice, which gives that little bite and tart, tangy taste that we associate with cheese, is used in this recipe. And it's incredibly easy because you just throw all of the ingredients into a blender and until it's perfectly smooth and just heat it up on the stovetop. You don't have to add any additional thickeners because the cashews themselves will thicken the sauce as it heats.
And let me give you the ingredients so you know it's a sieve. And it is. It's so easy. You need 2.5 cups of light vegetable broth, 2.5 cups of light vegetable broth, one cup of raw cashews, not in any way cooked or salted or anything like that, 1 cup raw cashews, a tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice, which is optional, but it will give it a different taste, 1/4 cup of nutritional yeast flakes, 1/4 cup of nutritional yeast flakes, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of salt, or 1 teaspoon if you're using vegetable broth that is already salted, 2 teaspoons of onion powder, 2 teaspoons of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of dry mustard, 1/2 teaspoon of dry mustard, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder. All that goes into the blender, folks. You just push the button and let the magic of the swirling blades just liquefy everything so it's just as smooth as silk. Put it in a saucepan, like she said, and you have to pay attention to stirring it, though. You can't just put it in a saucepan and leave it on the stove. You need to stir it constantly so there won't be anything sticking to the bottom of the pan and burning for about 18 to 20 minutes, and the sauce will be really, really thick and smooth and creamy. And your sauce can keep 5 to 7 days in the refrigerator. And you made a note here with your recipe that the sauce thickens when it's chilled, and it's a great spread for crackers or chips and can even be used as a sandwich filling if you like. So it's just so many wonderful, wonderful recipes. Now, Joe, with this book and all the wonderful stories of the animals that you have in here, the information about Farm Sanctuary, people can go to your website, which is vegsource.com/Joe, J-O. That's vegsource.com/Joe. Now, she has been, as she said, involved with cooking with food for vegetarian and vegans for a lot of years, and she is a senior book editor and an international business dispute resolution specialist for a global employment broker as well. So Jo has quite a background behind her, and a lot of her recipes are international recipes, which are interesting as well.
Correct.
And she also has her own advice column on her website, and it's called Ask Joe. Joe, before we close out, is there anything that you'd like to share with my listeners?
Well, I would suggest that if the recipes sound intriguing to them, to pick up a copy of Vegan Vittles, or you can order it through me, through my site, and of course any book retailer. And even if you're not vegan, I guarantee that you will find a lot of interesting information and a lot of recipes that you will enjoy.
Oh, I can't agree with you more. How about a poppy seed cake or a lemon teas cake? Aha, yes, it's a teas cake, ladies. So it is going to be something you might want to experiment with to see what the results would be. All right, and you guys might want to do that, too, with a special lady in your life. But lemon teas cake, and yes, that is with a T, T-E-A-S-E-C-A-K-E. All of these wonderful recipes in this delightful book, wonderful information, stories about animals, all kinds of great stuff that I know you'll enjoy. Vegan Vittles, down-home cooking for everyone. Jo Stepaniak has been my guest, and the spelling of her last name is S-T-E-P-A-N-I-A-K. Jo, thanks so much for being with me today. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Donna. It's my pleasure.
You have a fabulous day, and hey, we are going to be back in just a moment, so don't you go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And our direct line for everyone else is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. 3222. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then I would love to know where you're calling from. After that, let me do what I do, give you my perspectives and insights, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. Also, I want to let you know that I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Wisdom Festival in San Francisco, California. I will be down there on the 15th and 16th, and I will be doing a speaking engagement from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening on Saturday the 15th. This is being held at the Fourth Mason Center in downtown San Francisco. And if you would like more information, this is going to be a wonderful event featuring all kinds of speakers, just like myself, from different types of backgrounds. Expertise and insightful information will be shared with you and all that are there to attend. So that's the 15th and 16th of September. Go to their website, wisdomfestival.com, and you'll find more information there. Also, coming up in October, I am going to be appearing in Alaska and also in New York City, and we're putting together the information that will be in my newsletter, and I will also be announcing it through my programming as well. Well, I received a copy of a story, and I want to thank those of you who are sending me little goodies, wonderful stories. Oh, I've just got so much good stuff that when I can, I like to share it. And again, if you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. I want to thank Co, who sent me this, and it's just a delightful story. I have to tell you, I did hear a different version of this, but I wanted to share this with you because I think it's got some real good perspective. This is about the carrot, the egg, and the coffee. You'll never look at a cup of coffee the same way again, Co said. She said a young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were just the pits. She didn't know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. Seemed as if once she solved one problem, a brand new one came up. Well, her mom was busy and took her into the kitchen with her because she was busy cooking some stuff. And so she proceeded to fill three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Now, soon the pots came to a boil. In the first pot, she put some carrots. In the second pot, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. Now, she let them sit and boil. Meanwhile, her daughter's sitting at the kitchen table watching her mother do all this, and her mother's not saying a word. Now, it took about 20 minutes. Her mom was busy with some different things. And finally, after 20 minutes, her mother turned off all the burners underneath the pots, and she took the carrots out and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out, placed them in a bowl, and then she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. And she turned to her daughter, and she said, "I want you to tell me what you see." And she proceeded to put the bowls of the carrots, eggs, and coffee on the table. And her daughter responded, "Well, I see carrots, I see eggs, and I see coffee, Mom." Her mother said, "Okay, take a closer look. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to feel the carrots." Her daughter did, and said, "Well, Mom, they're cooked carrots. They're soft, just like carrots always are when you cook them." Mom says, "That's absolutely correct." Her mother then asked the doctor to, daughter to take an egg and to break it. And, of course, she couldn't break it because the egg was hard-boiled. It had been in boiling water for 20 minutes. Then the mother said, "I'd like for you to sip the coffee." And her daughter said, "Oh, Mom, what kind of game are you playing here?" But she picked up the coffee, smelled the rich aroma of it, and sipped it. And her daughter said, "Okay, Mom, knowing you, there's a story that's going to go along with all this stuff." And her mother sort of smiled, and she said, "Let me tell you what each of these items are all about. What was I doing with them?" And daughter said, "Well, Mom, you put all of these items in boiling water." She said, "Yes. Every single one of these items were put into boiling water. Boiling water. And each of these items reacted differently. The carrot, when it was put in that water, it was strong, it was hard, wouldn't bend. It would break if I tried to bend it. However, after it was subjected to the boiling water, it softened. And it even got mushy, didn't it?" Her daughter said, "Yeah, Mom, that's true." Now she said, "Take the egg. The egg is very fragile. It's thin, outer shell, protects the liquid that's inside, the liquid of the egg. But after it sits in the boiling water, the inside becomes very, very hard. It becomes toughened." And then she said, "The ground coffee beans are unique. After they were in the boiling water, the water had changed." So she looked at her daughter and she said, "I'd like to know which of these you are." And her daughter raised an eyebrow, like, "Mom, you've got something wrong in the brain department." But her mother continued. She said, "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean?" Well, when you think about this, it brings some thoughts into your mind. Are you like the carrot that's strong, but with pain and adversity, are you going to sort of wilt and become mushy and not have any stamina? Are you like the egg that's going to start with maybe a softness inside that you change with the heat of experience? Is your spirit fluid in the beginning, but after you have something serious go wrong, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some other difficulty, are you going to become really tough? Are you going to become hardened and stiff? Will the outside look okay, but on the inside, will you end up being, well, not pliable at all, but bitter and tough with a stiff spirit and a hardened heart? Or are you going to be like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water, the very circumstance that often brings the pain. When the water gets hot, it releases fragrance and flavor. If you're like the bean, when things are at the worst, you're going to get better and better, and you're going to change the circumstances around you because you're going to change how you interact with those circumstances. When things are darkest and trials are their greatest, are you elevating yourself to another level? How do you handle adversity? So again, the question, are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? And Co had something additional to add. She said, "May you have enough happiness to make you sweet, enough trials to make you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, and enough hope to make you happy." The happiest of people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the most of everything that comes along their way. The brightest future will always be based on a forgotten past, and you can't go forward in life until you let go of your past failures and heartaches. When you were born, you were crying, and everyone around you was smiling. You should live your life so at the end, you're the one who is smiling, and everyone around you is crying. I want to thank Co for sending that, because I think it's great. And then she had a little sub-note here. May we all be coffee. Ah, yes, the illustrious coffee bean. But that's so true. That is so true. How do you work with life? And there's nobody in life that's not going to get kicked in the teeth somewhere, or in the tush, or in the mental space. It happens. But what do you do with it? And it's so easy when it gets so absolutely oppressive. It is so easy to get stuck in the stuff when you don't need to. So I think this is a good analogy, and I really appreciate it. And I'm sure some of you have already heard the story before. I know I have, but I just really appreciated it being sent because I think it has such a significant value in its presentation, and it's an easy one to remember. The carrot, the egg, or the coffee. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or initial. And then, if you will, just let me do my thing. Of course, I like to know where you're calling from, because I'm always interested in where our listeners are calling in from. And then after that, you're welcome to ask a question after I give you information about anything that you would like to know about. Donna Sebo here. Again, 877-876-5227 or Canadians, 888-815-9756. I want to let you know about who's coming on air with me next week. We're going to be talking with Dr. Marvin. I had the pleasure of meeting this gentleman a few months back. We're going to be talking about nutrition and wellness. And this is something that I think is so important because it has been an interest of mine for as far back as I can remember, and as I've matured, I've found that there's more and more wonderful information that promotes wellness for the individual. How can you be healthy and enjoy the best in life so that you can live your life with a level of quality? And many times our own ignorance keeps us from doing that. So I like to think that when I bring these people to our radio waves, and this gives you an opportunity to empower yourself with some information and so you can have better choices in front of you. After all, we're the ones that make the decisions. Then we're going to be interviewing next week Christine Wadzilak, and she is just a wonderful woman, as well as her daughter Constance Curry. This is their story. This is a story that will touch your heart and your mind, and there are so many thousands of families that will have gone through what they've gone through, but you're going to have to hear the show to know what their particular experience was. Their book is The Lost Years, and it really is amazing. A Woman's Guide to Manifestation, we're going to be talking about next week. Bianca Guerra is going to be my guest. You want to manifest things. Women have a tendency to hesitate to make it okay to do this. They'll say, I wish. Let's forget the wishing. Let's go about, I desire, I want. Not I need, but I want. I have choice. I choose. These are all powerful words, and what you want to do is know how to use them so they can be most effective for you. So we're going to be talking about that next week and some other good things. And my goodness, it's just amazing. Time is passing, and before you know it, the leaves are going to be falling from the trees, and that really is a tough one. This is Donna Sebo. Just want to remind you that I'm going to be appearing in San Francisco on the 15th and 16th of September. I will be there appearing at the Wisdom Festival. You can go to their website, find out all the details about this wonderful event that's being held at the Fort Mason Center in downtown San Francisco. So go to wisdomfestival.com. You'll get all of the details. I will be speaking on Saturday evening on the 15th at 7 in the evening, and there's lots of other speakers and wonderful programs that are going to be given. So I look forward to seeing you there, and do stop by my booth. I'll have my booth number for you. So if you're going to be coming, you'll know what booth I will be in. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. Don't you go away. We've got some other good things to share. We are going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. One person makes a difference. If you are a regular listener to the show, you hear this said by me many, many times, and I say it because it is true. And there is a gentleman by the name of Russell Young. He lives in Oakland, California, and he was a graduate of Stanford University, and he said that he was just doing fabulously, and everybody was expecting the biggest and the best from him. However, he wasn't happy. He really wasn't happy. He was restless, and he said, it was just something inside of me. It was a spiritual need. And he said, in Chinese, the way, the truth, and the good way of life is called the Tao, which means knowing the right path and taking it. And he said, in Chinese writing, the character for Tao combines the symbols for head and foot. And he said, I just had this something inside of me that said I wanted to be able to help other people. I was so fortunate. I had a lot of things to be grateful for. But I felt like it was my turn. I was 30 years old, and I was doing very well in life. I lived in a comfortable apartment. I was going to school. I was spending a lot of time on research, going for my graduate's degree, my PhD. And he said, I had started to study refugee children as part of my curriculum that joined gangs. And he said, I found that I was developing a passion about this. But something was missing because I was just studying. I wasn't involved. So I wondered what else I could do. So he drove to a rough neighborhood in an area of near the city of Oakland. And it's called the Fruitvale District. And he said it was abandoned as an industrial area, and the housing around there drew a lot of immigrants working low-wage jobs so that they could make ends meet. At least they could get housing. And he said it was really a rough, rough area. And so he visited one of the apartment units, which was a 52-unit complex, and he said he just decided he was going to check everything out. And he said it wasn't really a very nice area to go into. He said there were all kinds of gang logos all over murals and buildings, and he said it was amazing what I found. And there were drug dealers out in the open doing their activities. He said it was just a mess. But he walked through the area and he saw families, he saw children playing, and there was a little boy whose name was Salik Kong, and sort of caught up with him while he was out walking around the area and tugged on his sleeve. on his sleeve, and he asked him about different things, and he chatted with him. And he talked about how he slept on his apartment floor because there wasn't any room for beds. And he said a cockroach went in my ear one night. And, of course, Russell was just astonished. He had never had an experience like this. And the little boy said, but my mom got it out with a feather. Well, many of these people were immigrants from Cambodia. And he talked with a number of them. One woman told him how her family had fled the country many years before. She had seen people beaten in different camps. They had been dragged behind trucks by soldiers. She said, we managed to make it over here. She said, the place we're living in is not very good. It's better than what we were experiencing in Cambodia. But it's still, it's very bad. But we help each other out as much as we can. So, here he is talking with this woman. And he learns that her husband and all but one of her sons were killed in Cambodia. Then there was another man that he came in contact with that he had been told to look up. The man's name was Dan. And Dan was there working with these people. He was actually living with them, helping them out. So here's young Russell asking him, how was it like living here? He said, well, I really do like it. He said, I'm finding that I feel very fulfilled in everything that I'm doing here. I really like it. What about you? So he said to himself, Russell did, you know what? This is a challenge, and I think I want to take it on. I have no idea. I've never lived in an environment like this. I don't know what it's going to take. Well, the two of them, Dan and Russell, decided to team up. Now, they've been living in this area for 15 years, and you know what? The drug dealers aren't there anymore. They started 15 years ago a tutoring program for the kids so that the parents and the children could learn how to speak English and be able to feel comfortable about becoming citizens. Every apartment in the building, all 52 units, have been renovated and ended up, because he was a slum landlord, selling the entire complex to a nonprofit housing group. Russell did become a professor at San Francisco State University. And they are happy. His family is happy to participate. The whole neighborhood has changed. Who would have imagined that Russell, who had it all, combined energies with a man who lived in an environment that, for most people, they'd say we wouldn't even want to go close to. But they decided they would do something, and they did. 1 + 1 = 2. That's a partnership. And between them, their belief in the people, and the people working as industriously as the two of them, a whole neighborhood was changed. Impossible? No. But it always takes teamwork. And you know, that is the way life is. It takes teamwork in life. I was talking with someone not too long ago, and we were discussing how nobody ever does anything all by themselves. Whenever you have someone saying, I do it all by myself, you have to ask them, what is it you do all by yourself? There's nothing in life that you do all by yourself. There's always going to be someone somewhere that you are going to need to interact with. If you go to build a house, you have to go to a hardware store to buy the supplies. You have to go to some place to get the tools. Now, you may say, I build this house all by myself, but not really, because your plumbing, your wiring, all of the materials you'd use for that house has to come from somewhere. It has to be from somewhere. So there's all of this interaction that we do that we often don't remember is so important. But I do want you to remember one thing. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Teamwork, life is good with it. It can be pretty lonely without it. And when you've got a good team, you can change the world that you live in, just like Dan and Russell did. This is Donna Siebel. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk to you later. On Monday, in fact, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Looking outside at the rain, there I go again, closing my eyes. Still I can see your face. I want you. I'm pacing the floor.